You're listening to a Media Snackers podcast. Check us out at mediasnackers.com.
My name is Edith Harrell Caperton, and I'm the president and founder of the Worldwide Workshop Foundation, which is an entrepreneurial educational organization, a not-for-profit based in New York City, but working globally. And we're dedicated to conceptualizing, inventing, and developing advanced applications for internet media technology that is and understanding of the world among children and youth, young adults in developing communities around the world.
Well, welcome, Edith. It was a pleasure to have you here. I want to talk to you today about globalaurea.org and specifically about MyGLife, which is a specific thing within that bigger project. So for anybody who doesn't know what that is, first of all, could you give us a bit, just a 30-second taste about what Globalaurea is, please?
Yeah, Globalaurea is conceived as a set of networks, social networks, that is calling for social responsibility. We launched it in 2006, about a year and a half ago, and we designed it to teach young adults, young people, youth, even middle school kids, how to take control over their new media world. We want them to gain deep Web 2.0 competencies and grow their game development abilities so they can interact with other youth around the world around a meaningful activity. They're socializing, communicating, and working together with tools and technology, with social media technology, to learning to participate together and build quality media and flood all these new networks like YouTube and Facebook and MySpace and Bebo with quality media that they create. So we are a safe space for them to practice how to participate in a social network and how to be really innovative and creative with their own quality media.
And I know within that project there's lots of strands, but I'd love to focus on the MyGLife strand, which is around game design, isn't it? And I'd love to ask you, why game design, first of all?
Well, we believe that people learn a great deal by thinking about a game that they want to develop. Let's say about mathematics, or about science, or about the climate problem, or about health, malaria prevention, or HIV/AIDS, or anything that is related to human rights, or safe schools for girls, or any issue that is important for them in their community. The best way to learn anything is to produce an interactive digital artifact about it. I've been doing research about this methodology since the 80s when I was still at the MIT Media Lab. I actually worked with a lot of inner city kids when I put them in situation asking them, design a piece of software to teach a concept in mathematics or in science to other kids. And it's just amazing to see how they get hooked and engaged in learning complex concepts, programming skills, graphic design, user interface design, pedagogy, because they really want to create an interactive game. There's another thing, you know, they all play games, right? They all play web games and video games. They see these things, and then when it's very easy for them as players to get hooked into the process of one, they all want to make one. So it's a really great activity for youth to interact around and then develop a lot of other skills.
I can imagine. I know you initially started in West Virginia, and I know you want to scale it, though, the project. And I want to know how kind of can you, I know the conception of that to scale, but how do you do that logistically or infrastructurally? How do you scale such a project like this?
Well, the Global Lawyer platforms and tools have three main components. We designed it as an open architecture for participation and for customization with very simple admin tools. So we give each community that starts with us, whether it's a university, whether it's an after-school activity like we did in the Middle East, or whether it's a statewide network, we give a starter kit community website that has four learning channels with 100-plus open-source web games tutorials, web resources, or simulations for participants to play, to critique, to modify, and to remix while they learn basic game design. We give them a community wiki for every group that want to start. We give a thematically focused, customized wiki space where participants are encouraged to create their own interactive, multidimensional, multimedia profile pages, and also learn how to become media wiki masters along the way. And we encourage them to include imagery, dynamic text, flash animation, video clips, photography, anything that really represent who they are. What are the web games or simulations that really turn them on into becoming a game developer? And then sharing process so the learning become transparent. They use our resources that are open, and they also share their artifacts and their progress and their projects and make them open and available. And then we also give them a starter kit community blog to really to tailor to their specific goals of their community, to share relevant news or information about their progress and their project or anything that they would like to exchange. I think this combination of open architecture website with very simple admin tools, community wiki and blogging and many other tools that we are providing in that starter kit package is already proving itself that it lends itself to customization for every community, whether it's a middle school, after school program, whether it's a high school vocational technical center that uses it every day, whether it's a college, a community college, or a university. We already see how different educators and different students kind of make it their own.
And I think that's the beauty of such a project like this, because you've already touched on it's this awesome open source nature, collaboration, sharing, community focused. That's your approach. I can understand that's your ideal is built on. And what is the wider discussions around there then in terms of, because you know that's theoretically a pedagogy that's maybe quite progressive then compared to maybe normal schools and stuff where they focus very much on the community but within the school. And you're talking about community in terms of global communities. Is that right?
Yes. So it's, I think, first of all, the concept of transparent learning is very important. Very rarely people are sharing learning in progress. You know, as they try to solve programming problems or design problems, they post on the wiki what they do or what their issues are, and they start helping each other. They don't submit assignments or tests to the educator, to the instructor, but they're all together in a project-based environment, in a do-it-yourself movement, trying to really take things that are out there in the world, remix it with their own invention, but being very clear, very transparent, very open. And this is really what the future of learning in the 21st century is all about, and what the future of work is all about. And it's this individual expression and teamwork in a virtual space, a lot of self-learning, a lot of helping each other and collaborating in a virtual space. This is tough stuff. This is very difficult, and we know that that's how we all work, you and I and all of our colleagues in the digital industry. That's how we work, okay? That's how we manage software project. That's how we manage your organization or my organization, our relationship with our audiences or our collaborators or our employees, whatever it is, our partners. And so we want to really take underserved youth who are coming from cultures that maybe don't even have knowledge of how to participate, and maybe culturally they're intimidated from participating. And so we're bridging this participation gap. Okay, it's the new digital divide. It's not just about access anymore, because even in places where there is access, there is high bandwidth, there are computers in internet cafes and community centers in schools, a lot of these kids don't know what to do and how to create quality media that can make a social impact, how to express their voices about issues. And a lot of stuff is happening that is really wonderful, as you know, all over YouTube, in the video, do-it-yourself, you know, DIY movement. And that's fascinating. So we take it to another level. We take this do-it-yourself remixing, expressing yourself, whether it's activists' video, political activism videos, or things that are educational or with social purpose, and we just say, okay, now let's take this to another level where you do things with Flash and Photoshop and RSS feeds and Wiki and blogging, and you become a critical consumer, a critical user, because you are turning around the tables and you're becoming a producer. So some kids may end up becoming web games developers and simulation and DK, right? They will start channels, they will podcast, they will create interactive media for social purpose, for human rights, or the climate problem. But some of them may just stay consumers, but we will have much more confidence in participating in a blogosphere, in writing an article on Wikipedia, in doing something for their own community, and being more critical when they consume the media out there in this Web 2.0 environment. They will be so much more knowledgeable of what makes a website good, what makes a blog effective, what's really a good game, what is educational versus not. So we're turning them into democratic participants as well as critical users of this media world. This is about the innovation economy. We know that in order to participate in the knowledge economy, the innovation economy, people really need to exercise, experience, and engage in participating in making digital artifacts of different kinds. And so this is a very important project in this direction. In addition, we all know about the movement for low-cost laptops, whether it's OLPC or what Intel is doing or ESUS is doing. And if you think 5 years from now, the world will get flooded with millions of laptop in developing world, in the developing community, we need to also raise and grow a generation of people in those countries, in Africa, in India, in China, in South America, everywhere, in developing communities in Europe and in the North America, to develop quality content for these kids that are already beginning to use these laptops. It's not about people in developed countries creating content for these kids. It's people in the community where these kids are learning how to manage content creation, software development, as well as the networking of all these kids around social network with a social purpose. So I think Globaloria is also envisioning that future of 5 years from now. It's a near future. Our goal for 2008 and 2009 is to flood the world with pilots, with beta tests. So anyone who's listening to this, who has a community or an interest to partner with us, is more than welcome to write to us at info@worldwideworkshop.org, and we will accept applications for participation, for starting up your own Globaloria network, whether it's mysciencelife.org or myglobalife.org.
Well, we need to wrap it up because we're over the 10-minute mark, but some of the stuff you were saying there, you know, it's given a wider context about educating people to be creative. I know that's your bag, and I just want to thank you for coming on and speaking about what you're doing, because I know a lot of our listeners really appreciate it. So thank you, Edith. Really appreciate it.
You're listening to a Media Snackers podcast. Check us out at mediasnackers.com.